Would you turn to John chapter 15, please? John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I've got a verse I want to share out of John chapter 15. Our context this morning, if you've received your notes, and by the way, thank you, Vernon Pat, for all the help during this entire class. We love and appreciate you guys very, very much. This morning we're talking about biblical commitment. Commitment. Now, that's a challenging word. Hard to come by today. It's unwanted in today's day and age. People would spend entire careers at one firm. Remember in the olden days? Their entire careers at one firm. And now people change jobs every couple of years. And the new generation, well, there's a task set before them. And they finish the task in a group kind of a setting. And then they change and they're on, if it's even a year. And the job's not loyal to them, nor are they loyal to the job. Everything's changed. Marriage, you've got high divorce rates. By the way, there is good news in some fashion. Because the old adage that 50% of marriages ends in divorce is actually not true anymore. About the last three decades, that figure has been going down. Now, the reason why it's been going down is not so good, but nevertheless, it's not just an automatic anymore. But what is commitment? What is it? On your job, in your marriage, in your home, to your family, to your nation, to your church. John 15, I'd like you to take a look at verse 13. John 15, verse 13, as we begin a lesson on biblical commitment. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus demonstrated the highest form of commitment right there. Commitment costs. Sacrifices are made. The world wants no-fault divorce and no community, no loyalty, but that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that there is commitment. There is a cause. There's something worth living for. How many know that Jesus is worth living for, church? His word is worth living for and standing on. Commitment and Christianity is worth living for. And in fact, some are discovering even yet today the worst persecution in all the centuries combined is taking place against Christians as they're literally being, many of them, boiled, beheaded, or crucified by the members of ISIS getting rid of Christians in some cultures. But how many know Jesus is worth living for and dying for? Sold out. Now, we get to live relatively free from that kind of problem. We have emotional turmoil sometimes. We have people that are against us and we wish it wasn't that way. But we get to understand commitment in relative peace. But one man wrote, it's in your notes, being a lone sinner is easy. Read the rest with me, please. But being a saint is a team effort. Someone say amen. Look around at each other, say hi, team. How do we live biblical commitment in the 21st century? We're going to go on to define now what is commitment. Webster's 1828 dictionary says to commit. It's in your notes here too. But the fill-in is, or the lines give you room to write it, it means to give in trust, to put into the hands or power of another, to join or put together, to pledge, to give in trust, to put in the hands or power of another, to join or put together, to pledge, to commit one's life and one's self, to join or put together or make some declaration which may bind the person in honor, in good faith, and in integrity, and in consistency. Welcome to marriage. Welcome to relationship. To pursue a certain course of action or conduct to adhere to that declaration. I think it's sad that in our school systems, it is no longer a requirement to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Because the Pledge of Allegiance was a commitment to honor and uphold what our nation stood for and the values of that country and the freedoms. I think it's sorrowful. I think it's shameful. I think it's wrong. I think we ought to be saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Come on, someone say, you're old-fashioned, Pastor Kev. I think there's something worth. It is worth it to be a Christian. It is worth it, if we're born in this nation, to support our nation and pray for it. Those who are first responders, and the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. I'm glad to be right here in this freedom this morning with you. Amen? What is commitment? Let's talk about the early church this morning. I want to talk about Antioch. Antioch, an absolutely powerful church where we discover the beginnings of really the nucleus in Jerusalem as well. But Antioch is especially meaningful as we take a look at Gentile and Jew together, coming together to worship the Lord. Commitment to Christ in the early church cost and meant everything. Everything. In Acts 11, you see that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The Bible Knowledge Commentary tells us that that ending, I-A-N, Ian, at the end of Christian, means literally belonging to the party of. Belonging to the party of Jesus. The significance of his name and the name Christian in the Greek text was emphasized by the word order. And it meant that people recognized Christians as a distinct group of people. You understand that the early church, the earliest days, the movement of Jesus and the followers of Jesus were birthed out of the Jewish or Israeli or the Hebraic form of worship. But they began to be separated out from the Jews as they followed after Jesus. And they are saying Christian are Christ followers, people who are set apart to following the Lord. Is that you and me this morning? That's who we are, isn't it? In commitment to Jesus and each other, they were identified. It's in your notes, I believe, but their commitment resulted, maybe it's not in your notes, their commitment resulted in a visible expression of God's family. A resulting expression of God's family. Antioch. The place where we see it in the book of Acts. Number two here, we've got, they were of one heart and purpose. So the early church expresses this. What's it about? They were of one, and there's your fill in. One heart and purpose. With a central core of beliefs and practice. We see in Acts 4, verse 32, they were of one heart and soul. Guys, that's close. I said that's close. One heart and soul. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 declares, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, be no divisions among you, but be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 10, second part out of the New Living Translation, it says, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. It's a powerful uniting as they were God's family, flying in contrary to the world around them, being separated and identified as Christians. And then we have the third concept. Fellowship was vital for the early church. It was vital. Turn to one another if you know the person sitting next to you and say, fellowship with you is vital for me. Acts 2, verse 46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You know what the bottom line of that verse is? They loved hanging out together. They loved hanging out together. They loved seeing each other. When they got together, they loved each other and they enjoyed it. In their unity, they also experienced the power of God's presence. Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Watch this. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they may ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Church, that's power. That's the power of God released when the people of God stand together, committed to Jesus and committed to one another. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Now, in the early church, what happened? churches sprang up in different localities, but there was one church. There was one church. There's the church universal, and there's the church local. I'm not talking about some new age name of a church nowadays, the universal church. I'm talking about the worldwide body of Christ. Have you ever gone to another nation, met Christians, and had instant fellowship with them? Because the Holy Spirit birthed something powerful. A member of a local church is a member in Jesus Christ, if you're surrendered to Him, is a member of the universal church. Again, not New Age, but you're part of the family of God. Surrender to Jesus. Now, in your notes, it's an important principle. If one is a member of the universal church, one must of necessity be a member of the local church. A local church. There's your fill-in. Of the local church. Now, I want you to really examine with me or consider. One is very hard pressed to show from the Bible that one is a legitimate fruit-bearing Christian if one withdraws from or refuses to identify with the local church. If you look at me and say, I'm a Christian, I'm sold out to Jesus, but I hate the body of Christ, I will challenge you in your Christianity. If you look at me and say, I'm a Christian, love Jesus, and can't stand anybody who's in the church, it's just the church I hate, I will challenge you to get on your face and repent and find a new, fresh revelation of what the family of God's all about in Christ. Now, did I say nobody ever gets hurt in the body of Christ? No, I didn't say that. We do. But commitment, biblical commitment means we hang in there. And we walk this thing out together. Amen. Amen? Amen? Fellowship was vital. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as they see the day approaching. Guys, we're in the end of days. We've been declaring that for a long time, but how many think we're closer to the end of time than ever before? So we need to encourage each other. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on the church. Keep walking with Him. Keep walking with each other. If you got a problem, let's get it solved, because we're going to run after Jesus together and be ready for when He comes. Amen? Amen? Your local church provides ministry care. Your local home church provides ministry care. Sheep are known by the master shepherd and the under shepherds. John 21 declares, He said, tend my sheep. And He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, the first part of the verse says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. We work hard as a congregation to make sure people know they are cared for, that you know you're cared for with that kind of care, that kind of feeding, and that kind of strengthening for the spiritually hungry. Our first priority is for those who choose and want to be here. That's what we're called to do before the Lord. So we provide ministry care. All right, so why experience commitment to your home church? Why do that? Because we love hanging out. GCC nurtures and develops, the word is healthy on your notes, if you fill it in, healthy, functioning sheep. What does that mean? Man, you know, you've probably heard the old testimonies, but healthy, functioning sheep, that means not sick, ready to collapse, feeling like the devil's chasing me around all day. I'm fine under the circumstance. Well, honey, what are you doing under there? Not sick, ready to collapse, but serving a useful role, functioning, a useful role in serving the Lord. I've got people I can pray for, people I can serve, things I can do. That's part of the family of God. And mature Christians with vision and desire to grow and be what God wants me to be. Grace Christian Center helps you to develop further relationships and closer relationships. Ephesians 2:21 says, in whom the whole body and the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. What do? We grow. We grow. That's God's heart. Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body... Wait a minute, just the pastors do all the work in the church. No, that's not true. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what, say it with me, every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hey, aren't you glad you're in a place where everybody's got a job to do? We all get to serve the Lord. If you're walking in the building and there's garbage on the ground, it's not the pastor's job alone to pick it up. Everybody gets to reach down and pick it up. We're all looking around now, right? No, but we all do the work. We all help and serve. And if somebody's fallen down or is in need of prayer, we all gather around and we pray. And I loved your testimony this morning, Al. We love you. And it's a joy to be a strength to you and a joy to be a strength to one another. At Grace Christian Center, and this is in your notes, we try to practice a love that covers and releases forgiveness. Now, I've written this purposely in there as a quote. What should our attitude be? If I get offended, I'm going to get it resolved. Because relationship with you is more important than the issue. Now, carefully hear my heart. Sometimes you try to get resolved or resolution with somebody and they just push you away. You can't do more outside of pray on that. But, you know, we bang our heads and divide relationships because of issues when God's heart is, I want my family to come to me. How many know we're not all the smartest apple in the barrel? Sometimes there's a different perspective on an issue than what we might have. Isn't that true? Man, can you be honest with me to say, you know, I understand a few things better now than when I was 20. But when I was 20, I thought I had it together. And now that I'm a little bit older, I know I don't. We grow. Issues that divide us aren't near as important as our relationship before Jesus Christ. Love covers all sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And the Hebrew there in that, or in the Greek in the New Testament there means, or inadequacies, if you will. So what's Grace Christian Center also here to do? To release natural and spiritual ministry. The word is ministry in your fill-in. Ministry. All God's people are called to minister, don't you know? We help you find expression for faithfulness and giving and receiving. And for those who desire, there will be opportunity to be trained for ministry leadership. Genesis 14:14 is a very important principle. As it talks about when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, if you recall your biblical history, he armed, King James says, he equipped his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and then went in pursuit as far as Dan, and he retrieved all of those who had been taken captive. Believers, in your notes, it says, who are born, trained, and equipped. God wants us to have a right birthing, to be trained in ministry, if you will, to be equipped, to be able to minister to other people. And if you go back to your history in Exodus 18, also in Numbers 11, it describes this, but if you remember Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he said, Moses, you're going to wear out. You got to spread the load of ministry. And he did. And he lived a little bit longer. But take a look at Acts chapter 6 that shows us the concept in the New Testament. Seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. There's other participants in the body of Christ. You can look around this church. There's a whole bunch of you doing a whole bunch of things. Thank God. That's what makes a family go, right? When you grew up in a family, didn't you have family chores? What happened when you didn't do your chores? Oh, we won't go there. But thank God. Thank God we all have a place to play. Listen, you can look at me all day long and say, I can't do anything. You can pray. You can take the intercessory burden. You can hear what's going on in your brother and sister. And you can say, I might be limited in what I can do physically, but I am never limited in what I can do spiritually. I'm seeking God for my brother and sister until there's an answer from heaven.
Amen.
Maybe not everybody's called to be in the pulpit, but everybody's called to be in the trenches and in prayer and seeing God bring great victory. Amen. Amen. So, when we're talking about raising up spiritual ministry or natural ministry, what do we look for? We look for these kind of qualities. Number one, faithfulness. We look for faithfulness in a minister. Reliability. Somebody who comes regularly, is supportive, volunteering, keeping their commitments. Somebody who attends and their shoulder is to the wheel. We look for that. And that's what you're looking for when you want to look around and see who's called into a leadership responsibility. Number two, teachability. That person's teachable. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. Now, what is it about a child? Are they just perfectly teachable? No, they're really gullible. But the point is, there's usually in a child's heart, unless they've been damaged, and that happens too. And that's a heartbreak to try to help them overcome that. My son Chris and his wife Carmen minister to foster kids, and they've got this heart as big as the moon. And they have to work and labor very diligently to help their little children overcome the hurts and the rejections that have been in their lives. So it is a real problem that we have. But overall, children are receptive. You can only minister to someone else what you have received yourself. And a teachable spirit comes from a heart that's surrendered to Jesus. Number three, we look for somebody who speaks the same word. 1 Corinthians 1:10. We've already read that scripture out loud where we're joined together. We believe the same things. And at Grace Christian Center, I'm talking specifically about this church here right now. If you're a guest, you're welcome here anytime. By the way, anybody is welcome here at any time. We love people on the way in. We love people to go out. How many times have you met a guest or visitor and you go, man, I hope they're here every Sunday. They say, well, we're just from out of town. We're only here this week. So I usually look at them and say, well, why don't you make a plan? Come back every single week. That'd be great. But lots of times in the old days, we used to watch people go, not in this church necessarily, but you've probably seen it too, go from one leader to another leader to another leader to another leader until they could finally hear from somebody what they really wanted to hear. Even if it wasn't always the word of the Lord. Are you tracking with me? You understand? We used to watch that. We don't do that here. What we try to do here is have ministers and leaders who understand the heart of Jesus and heart of the word and receive the ministry of Jesus and the Spirit in their daily lives. And they are in love with him and they're in love with his people. And leaders here who become leaders here have agreement with the heart and spirit of what Jesus is doing. I will tell you honestly, I'm going to tell you a very honest story, and it's not about anybody specifically here. I'm not going to gossip. I'm just going to tell you the reality. As a pastor, our calling is important and serious. And we take it extremely seriously. We've had people who have come for a short time, and we discovered that what they were doing at the end of the service was getting people off in the corners and inviting them to their own Bible study. Because what they wanted to do was start their own church and carve it out of the church. And people were feeling funny about what was going on. And what was really interesting was the pastors were never invited or told. That, to me, I'm going to be extremely honest with you, that is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, we love people, but that kind of draw people after yourself attitude is not godly, and it has no place in the church of Jesus Christ. I've had people that I love who came in for a week or two and said this literally to me. You need to tell your people to come to me and come to us, and we'll minister to them if they have problems instead of going to you. Because I'm the one who knows what to say to them. We've had folks who come in and say, I'm a prophet, but wanted nothing to do with any of you or us or the church. They just wanted to prophesy their word. I challenge that person, that brother or sister, to get on their knees and seek God and come to a place of repentance, because that is not welcome in the body of Christ. We understand and release and believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic gifts. And we understand that there is a place of great strength. But the Bible says, know well those who labor among you. A candle stuck in a candlestick can shine a bright light. Not on a candlestick, flops over and the light goes out. Amen? Amen. Ever try to do a candle, stick it on the table without a candlestick? It don't work too well. So I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to identify what's happened upon occasion. Those people who never wanted to be part of the church so they could know you and you could know them and strengthen them. The folks who are elders and leaders in this church, you know, and they have labored side by side with you. And we welcome all parties and we love everybody. I had one person say to me one time, let me do it. I want to run with it. And I just looked at him and said, you know, we are so glad you're here. Why don't we just all serve together for a while, get to know each other? Because I want nothing more than to see great ministry rise up to strengthen the body of Christ. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, guys. Those who come into ministry responsibility at Grace Christian Center receive us as their pastors. And if there's a disagreement, they agree. They disagree agreeably. They don't go behind our back and try to hurt people. Sowing seeds of discord, by the way, is an abomination to God. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 declares that. That is abomination. And that literally means something disgusting and abhorrent to God. Wow. I don't want to be on that side of the ledger, do you? You know, I'll get a little quiet. It is extremely serious, guys, and we take it seriously. We love you, and we want to see you strengthened and helped, and we don't want to see confusion happen in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 20 tells us that you take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, and women, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. The Bible uses the word, and I don't mean any of this offensively, you guys. I'm just sharing heart with you this morning. As we understand the Scripture, the Bible uses the term, Jesus uses the term, sheep. That's not an offensive word. I love sheepies. I am a sheepie before the Lord. But the Bible uses the term sheep. And sometimes sheep don't always catch the dangers. You'll read about they'll stick their nose in a hole where a serpent can bite their nose. Or a wolf. Or a bear. Or whatever. I like lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But there are things that can come and damage that sheep. And God gives shepherds and under-shepherds in the body to help guide and to warn and to lead and to help strengthen and bless you and keep you safe. We want to help people, and people that want that kind of help will heed the warnings, because your feeling is this. The hungry are here to receive. The hungry are here to receive. There's your fill in the word hungry. Okay? Good enough? Number four, to help you be strong for possible testing ahead. You take a look at the early church, and Rome was not always a pleasant place to be. Roman soldiers weren't their favorites. You take a look at the government in Canada right now, and they have literally passed a law that you can't stand in the pulpit as a Christian believer and preach against some sins, because those sins are hate crimes, and you better not preach that. Thank God we still live in a nation where we can freely preach this, and even if we can't, we will by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. It's a deep thing. 1 Samuel 17:29, David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? In your notes, it's right there. The cause of Christ is the greatest cause to live for, and as the early church showed us, to die for. I pray to God none of us ever have to die for our faith. We might. The Bible says we die daily. We die to self. We die in some people's popularity perspective. But there are those, like I said, ISIS trying to commit genocide against Christians. It's a big deal. We need to pray for revival among those who are followers of the ISIS movement so they'll surrender to Jesus. And God is moving. There are people seeing dreams and coming to Jesus all around the earth. But when it's tough, church, do you stand for Jesus even when it's tough or give up? What we try to do is strengthen you so you know the Word of God. And then you can stand no matter what it is. All right, what can a committed person expect from Grace Christian Center? What can you expect? Number one, leaders who love Jesus. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Leaders who love Jesus, His presence, His will. We want Him. We want His presence more than anything else. Everything else, if you substitute the presence of Jesus for anything else, like my wife Sherry, Pastor Sherry says, it ain't worth the powder to blow it up. I thought I'd hear a louder amen than that. Give us Jesus. Give me the presence of Jesus. You know, I cover you with love. You cover me with love. And all I can tell you is as your pastor in this place with all my heart, I want to know Him, hear Him, see Him, taste Him, touch Him, know His presence more than anything else. You know, isn't that why we're here? Lord, include us with whatever You're doing. You know, I start looking forward to church probably Monday morning. I start looking forward to church, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I start, Lord, what are You going to do? And I get a sense or a direction, and my heart is going, Lord, come on, move powerfully. Sherry and I take hands, and one hand, I'm driving with the other one, and on our way down to church, and I'm praying, God, do what only You can do this morning. I don't want just information. I don't want just inspiration. That's good. I don't want just impartation. That's good. I want to be transformed by the presence of Jesus this morning. Don't you? Isn't that why you're here? Oh, Lord. Do what You want to do. Do what You want to do. Leaders who love Jesus, His presence, and His will. We want God's Word. We want the Bible, our textbook. Not just a nice afterthought with a few poems thrown in for a Sunday morning message. But the Word of God instructs us. The whole counsel of God instructs us. And we want to learn it and grow in it as best as we can. Number three, shepherd's hearts from godly leaders. People who are trying to grow in Jesus. Not perfect people. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. That's why we get to cover each other in love. Number four, guidance if you desire. We're here to minister. If someone wants that minister to help you find answers for life, and we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And fifthly, what can you expect from GCC? A family and a sense of loving belonging. Look around you and you go, thank God, even though it's small, there's a family here of people who I know I can call them at 3 o'clock in the morning to bail me out from jail. And I can trust they'll look at me then lovingly and say, and what are you doing in jail, you doofus? You know, the old phrase was, and they won't ask me. Oh, no, this people will love you enough to go, what are you doing? Love. Family belonging. And what can you expect? Prayer on your behalf. Discerning spiritual protection. People to stand with you in spiritual warfare, to help warn you from spiritual danger, help protect you from satanic confusion and deception. There's a lot of wrong food and a lot of wrong streams that are available to eat from and drink from. Let's stay with the Word of God, shall we? All right. So what can the leaders expect? That those for whom Grace Christian Center is their home church will make a choice or make several choices. Number one, they'll grow. That you'll choose to want to grow in hearing Jesus' voice. To know the shepherd's and pastor's voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. You're here because you want to be here. You pray for us and we pray for you. There's a zeal to listen and hear what Jesus is saying. I'm going to have to tell you, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. And I mean this with all my heart and I don't mean it with any kind of cruelty. Your favorite TV preacher isn't flying in today to pray for you. Now listen to me. I've known for years, 45, 46 years of walking with the Lord, I've seen people give to every cause at every TV preacher and every kind of thing in the book and not contribute or give or tithe to their local church. But I'm telling you, I've never seen that national preacher fly in to pray for that person when they were in the hospital or on their sickbed. Doesn't mean you can't support anybody else. That's not what I mean. Hear the heart that there's a local church family that's here to pray for you and help you. To follow Jesus, most of all, to follow Jesus and godly leadership as we follow Christ. You go, well, is that Bible? That is Bible. Hebrews 13:7, I've read these specifically, identified these out of the New American Standard. You have all the scripture references there. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do it with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, Paul said, imitate me. Next, faithful attendance. What can he expect? Faithful attendance. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, look, what am I saying? You can never miss. Ah, forget it. That's not what I'm saying. We all miss, and we all have things and family events and things we go to and things we go out of town and celebrate and events. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying when you're here, you want to be here. Come on, when you're here in town, I'm going to church. I want to know what these guys have been up to all week. I want to worship with them. I want to see what Jesus has got to say to us today. And I want to see them blessed and strengthened and built up and growing in the Lord. And as they go on their way out the door, they understand they're entering the mission field. And they know the joy of the Lord is their strength. I want to see them blessed and strengthened and encouraged and built up. And I like to hang out with you. I do. Call me crazy. And to be faithful in relationships. Matthew 5:23-24. If you bring your gift to the altar, we've already spoken this some. Remember your brother has something against you, and you leave that gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. And you're committed to be faithful, not handling oughts incorrectly, but biblically. Hey, listen, relationships have problems sometimes. None of us are perfect yet. But what we don't do is if you have a problem or if Dean has a problem with Paula, he doesn't go over and say to Jim, I got a real problem with Paula. The Bible says he goes to Paula. Because I'm committed to you, he says. And I want to work this out. I've been working this out for how many years now? 56 years. So what's the point? The Bible says, here's what happens. You go share your aunt with somebody else. You've dumped all over them. Now somebody else has the problem. And guess what? You walk away going, I'm doing better now. And the other person's over here going, what's wrong with that pastor? I can't believe he did that. So what do we do? Matthew 18 says, go one-on-one. Handle it biblically. Keep love relationship flowing. And keep it growing. Faithful in relationships. And to support Grace Christian Center. What do the leaders expect? That you'll be supportive. That you'll speak positively about us as we do about you. And you'll believe the best about us as we do about you. And your time, your talents, your money. And you listen for words like, it's my church, it's our church. Not your church, their church. It's our church together. Look, you guys, we all make choice. We all make choices written right down in front of you. In Christianity, we surrender to Jesus. We surrender to His Word. We surrender to His life. We do our best to keep walking with Him. I told you 13 weeks ago that we would embark on a program called Launching Your Faith. A faith alive, active, and alive for the 21st century. a vital teaching series, we said. Gave you a written note. Some of you have your books. It's right there. To help you launch and sustain your Christian faith. To vibrantly grow in Jesus and His family. To understand and be transformed by His Word. Take an alive faith to the world. It's what the world needs. The old song says, what the world needs now is Jesus. Not just love, Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. I was saved for something great. I got burning in my heart the purpose of Jesus. Don't you? I'm saved. Come on, say it with me. I'm saved for something great. Got people to reach and neighborhoods to reach and my family to help shine Jesus to them. And I want to see the world come to Jesus and see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pursued three sections, you'll recall, Anchors Away, where we learned about repentance, water and Holy Spirit baptism and reckoning. Then we went into Sail On, where we listened to the Admiral. What a great lesson from Pastor Sherry. Communion, Safe Harbor, and prayer, fasting, and worship service, and the heart of giving, and biblical tithing. And now we've talked about vital connection to the home port. A living and vibrant vision. Now biblical commitment. If something happened between today and next week where we were not able to be together, and the church was scattered, or I wasn't able to be with you, and something took place in our nation, you can take what you've been given as an active and alive faith, and you've got what you need to reach your neighborhood and reach your neighbors and reach your family. You could start a church, if you will, in your own home and help them be founded in a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can help spread the message of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Because you have been given the tools to strengthen and to help you. Spread the word! Spread the kingdom. Take an alive faith to the world. Give and show Jesus to this world. And now we say, for launching your faith, Tetelestai. Come on, church. Tetelestai. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And He spoke the Greek word, Tetelestai. And what does it mean for us specifically? This is more than a program. I pray that the truths of the Word of God change and transform our lives. And now we can say together, if you would, mission accomplished. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for being so great, so marvelous, so good. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, and we have received Your presence, Your mercy, Your goodness to us this morning. We pray Your blessing upon Your people. Thank You that we have the privilege of building friendships and encouraging one another as we take an alive and active faith for the 21st century out to the streets. Thank You that You've changed us, and we will receive and obey You as we go forth. Bless each one now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen.